awesome machinery of nature.
I believe our future depends powerfully on how well we understand this cosmos in which we float like a mote of dust in the morning sky.
But the brain does much more than just recollect. It intercompares, it synthesizes, analyzes, it generates abstractions.
The simplest thought, like the concept of the number one, has an elaborate logical underpinning. The brain has its own language for testing the structure and consistency of the world. A still more glorious dawn awaits.
Okay. We are here. This is KBU. This is KBRR Portland 90.7. And I don't know, is Floyd here? Floyd?
Put on my mic!
I don't know what mic are you on. Are you the furry mic?
Mic too.
Furry mic?
Mike, hold on, is this?
On, okay. Hello.
All right, now we're on.
You know, good evening. Good evening, fellow Americans.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Puppet Radio Theater.
September 1st. 2014,
yep. That's right.
A date that shall live in infamy.
That's going to be the best show ever.
All righty.
All right, here we go. All right, we have announcements. Do we have the phone number? Probably not.
Do we have, write down the phone number because we've got like six people who said that they would call.
That's right.
They
if
won't
you
call,
want to call,
of
but you don't have the number right
Where's
now,
our number?
We'll get back to you. I don't know.
Where's
we'll,
our,
we'll
I'm just going to, while you find the number, I'll read from you for
I don't
a,
know. No, 503-231-8187.
Say that again.
503-231-8187.
And Dan said he would call tonight. He won't, but he said he would.
Oh, Dan, you better call tonight. That would be awesome.
We're having our annual KBOO book sale pretty soon. So basically, we're pretty much jammed up to the rafters with just books here, and it's great. I just pulled out America on 6 Rubles a Day by Yakov Smirnov.
All right, you know, as tempting as it is to play a sketch, I think we should do a book reading tonight.
You know, this, because to be honest, this guy's humor just has aged perfectly.
All right, give us a sample. Us a sample.
In Russia, yep means sex. When I came to America, I heard everyone saying, yep, yep, yep. I said to myself, what a country.
Wow.
Wow. That Yakov, pretty... he's just, I wonder what maybe he's playing with Maria Bamford.
I wonder what he's doing now.
That was a sad thought for Maria. So look who's here.
Here we have a guest in the studio tonight. Yes,
regular Puppet Radio Theater correspondent Ken Jones is here.
An essential voice actor.
He's an essential voice actor.
You could hear him on Great, whatever that sketch was, the Baby Orphanage.
All sorts of other sketches. So we basically just use him. We're just trying to suck all the creativity out of him.
That's right.
We're going to toss him aside.
I specialize in playing Mormons.
Yes, very, very well.
Do you like Yakov Smirnov, Ken?
I haven't read that book.
He's a genius. Yeah, you're about 25 years too late.
Oh, what happened to him?
The world changed and he didn't. That's the problem.
I'm going to Google it.
He's probably, he's probably playing like in Des Moines or something like that. Poor Yakov Smirnov. I understand that he's renting out a studio apartment in Hollywood with Emo Phillips. Oh, that was... Okay, I'm getting cruel. We're getting to the cruel already.
Emo was here about 2 weeks
ago. I know
ago.
He was, but that's not about 2 weeks. I know he was, but he has made it well. Can you believe it? What's more important, us or raising money for this station?
It's a fine line.
It's a Sun Ra marathon, actually.
It's a Sun Ra marathon.
Next month.
Hmm.
Hmm. Anyway, if you want to start the show, it's do we want to?
Sun Ra, I guess we're
all. Don't start from there. Start from the next lineup, because otherwise want to do the intro. Okay, just do the intro.
I'm just gonna see what happens. Well,
go ahead. Do it.
You know, doing these fingers is difficult. So
yeah, I know.
I don't even know what. Let's play our promos. Actually,
let's do the promos.
Maybe it makes us do some things, and this is one of them.
In Russia, Soviet Russia eat you! Ho 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 ho, Yakov, you're so funny.
KBOO Community Radio and Sante Aesthetics and Wellness are proud to co-sponsor A Touch of Portland 2014. The event takes place Sunday, September 7th, and is a great way to detox after a long summer. Whether you're getting back from Labor Day weekend or decompressing from the burn, this is a great way to stay healthy through dance, foods, and multiple healing modalities. That's A Touch of Portland, Sunday, September 7th at Northwest 17th and Davis. Go to kbu.fm/touchofportland for more information on this event.
KBU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Two Rivers, One City, Tuesday, September 9th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Charles Jordan Community Center in Portland. The Willamette and the Columbia Rivers provide sustenance, recreation, and economic benefits to our region. Yet these rivers are burdened with the legacy of industrial pollution and threatened with the future of toxic contamination. The Two Rivers, One City event will bring a broad network of river users together to share their stake in clean water. The event will include an overview of the various environmental justice issues related to the Portland Harbor Superfund cleanup and the oil by rail projects along the Columbia. Again, that's Two Rivers, One City, Tuesday, September 9th at the Charles Jordan Community Center, 9009 North Foss Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hey, man, you know, that was, like, really beautiful that, you know, that really, like, you know, groovy-sounding chick was talking all about me. Like, you know, like, because Two Rivers is actually my nickname, you know, from, like, my one semester at community college. I can't even, like, can you hear me now? Because my levels are, like, really low.
Hey, just get on with the show, you hippie. You stinking, filthy hippie. Get on with the show.
Yeah, man.
You know, the voice almost sounded familiar to me, but I can't quite place it.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Should I hit play?
Probably.
Let's go.
Let's see what happens.
On with the show. That was a long pause.
Okay, hold on. Crisis in the newsroom. No, you can't say technical difficulties. Oh, we're so in trouble.
We're calling fans everywhere. Hear the sirens. New albums, you know how it is.
Of course I understand. Between work, life, fans, parenting, your social fights, that all sounds so overwhelming. Remember, this is not an obligation except to yourself. Come as much as you need and can, Eddie.
Hamburger refreshing. I'm 4 insects with a cell phone, tan of corn, and Nagata. And it's hard on a road every Saturday, tuna bottle, like when I sing, you know, on a seedling, on a boy so platter, yeah. When I wanna pee again. That's a lot of what I'm talking about. Not just for me, you know, but everyone struggles with Pina Vidler Sonata Candle Bugler.
Right. So when you say this, do you feel overwhelmed?
That's hard, Dr. Lovejoy. I often think back to my days before Pearl Jam, before Ticketmaster. Oh, she walks slow across a young man's room. She says, I'm ready for you. I can't remember anything this very day. No. And I really can ocean wheel bagging with what's been lost from that, you know? You know, and then there's, don't call me daughter, not fit to be. A picture kept will remind me. So those demons still hurt, and Keen Fenimore, Dollar Simplicity. We took on Ticketmaster, who still pikes a canister filibuster with 14 signs, and that comes with a lot of responsibility. It's hard to take on. Capitalism takes a huge foreman with the sweaty cannonballs for arms, Swix meter chili.
Yes, taking on the basic concepts of capitalist society is a lot to take on. You've always been very sensitive to that. And perhaps there are certain chunks you can continue to take on, like Ticketmaster. Maybe we can come back to that topic a little later. Before you went on tour, we were discussing your feelings about writing.
Oh, I swear I'm very frustrated.
I imagine there must be a lot of pressure to come up with new work. How does that make you feel?
14.5 million, but I've never seen a church without a mean street alley. Oh, better count 'em down. 4 months, that's all I got.
You know you're not the first artist to struggle with this, Eddie.
I know.
And if I may interject the fan side of me for a moment, it reminds me a little bit of Yellow Ledbetter, which I love.
Thank you.
That song always spoke to me. The lyrics are quite moving.
A lot of people say that, if it's channeling clarity.
Beg pardon?
Hogbelly Potato Granddaddy.
Do you think fans would appreciate an entire album inspired by Yellow Ledbetter?
Maybe. Fans always want to hear Jeremy even for a while. Keep trying to write for Mega and another Granddaddy Madonna. Struggling the precepts, trying to break Beta with Nirvana. Wheat Palace, and I'm still fire legs behind.
That's interesting, Eddie. Do you often find yourself comparing your work to the contemporary bands that you broke onto the alternative scene with?
Couple of canary with them Stone Temple Pilots. And I'm feeling, and she feels it. Scott Wild, he's an affiliate. They custom ducted me, unfiltered, don't bother with him, you know?
Well, you certainly inspired a lot of imitators, and we've discussed your mixed feelings about how well they channeled the message. But you just brought up Nirvana. Can we discuss Nirvana today, Eddie?
1, 2, 3, 4, Penguin in the center four. A 5, 5, Penguin in the center nine. 8, 4, 4, with the center four. Penguin going 9 and 5 and all. Why would you want to hurt me? Yeah. Why would I want to talk about them? That was cumbersome Tallywhacker Frog Jamboree McGee. Why would I talk about that?
Well, yes, I do think it's relevant. They were just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they seem to strike a chord.
Hipped on a curb in the road, old tile paper. On a crack on the wrong side of the track.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time before Pearl Jam is nominated, but it sounds like this has brought up some old memories. What are you feeling now?
They don't eat, don't sleep, they don't push, they don't struggle, kick the dirt off Elijah One's feet.
Well, I understand their special circumstances, but I'm hearing anger. And maybe some hurt?
Off to English pedal to be a good English dinklage.
Go on.
Freeze and metal sun on a bed all day to bed. I don't want it because I just want to ride on my motorcycle. And all Saturdays at home, yeah.
Let it out. I understand this is very hard.
Oh, footsteps. Oh, how much difference does it make?
Now, Eddie, nobody really thinks you killed Kurt.
Internet bungalingus communions. It's totally Courtney Love.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have today. Same time next month?
Yeah!
Will you work on some of the new songs before our next appointment?
Maybe just pee on with the goddamn reissue.
Meeting deadlines can be good for an artist.
Sing a song for love, joy, goodbye.
Take care, Eddie.
Better feel better.
That.
All right, we're back. Penguin Radio Theater, baby. And not only are we back, we are here to promote the book sale.
That's right. The book sale is coming up, and you can get quality books.
Quality books.
Now, when I say quality books, not this particular book that Hazel is about to read to you. This is one of the unquality books. But those are the only books that they'll let us into.
Right. All right. So when you go to the book sale,
wait,
you
say the name of the book.
All right. Seven Nights of Sin.
Seven Pleasure is a Serious Business.
By Lacey Alexander, author of Voyeur.
Oh, boy.
Let's read the back part of the novel. All right. From the author of Voyeur comes a sizzling novel about seven steamy nights in Sin City, each one hotter than the last.
I never thought about Las Vegas as Sin City.
I don't know, it's a good thing we're not on before 10, because Brenna Caton doesn't need a man.
I'm starting to get sweaty.
At least that's what she keeps telling herself.
Deep up inside my fur.
Did her boss send her on a trip to Vegas to make sure David Andros, the sexiest man in the entire musical industry, doesn't live up to his bad boy image? But before, maybe this is secretly about Justin Bieber.
Oh my God.
But before she knows it, business turns to extreme pleasure
as Damon brings out her naughty side.
fulfilling every one of her wildest fantasies, and she's doing this for work. Next, she has just 7 sultry nights to commit every sin in the book. Really, because Sin is also a murderer. They're going to be, well, maybe.
All right.
Because once Damon discovers her dirty little secret, surely he'll never indulge their lust again.
We're 15 minutes into this show.
I don't even know what this book's about, really.
No, I don't. Right, you know what? Just toss it. Toss
it.
Now, hold on. Let's.
Yes, I
think that we ought to skip that because I think Dan wants to call in.
Oh, but the phone is not ringing. All right, Dan.
We love Dan.
Dan,
he
if
just
you're listening.
He just called my cell phone. All right, Dan, let's get serious here.
All right.
Our phone number is 503-231-8187. Now, as I've mentioned, next month we're going to have the pledge drive.
Right. So we're going to be kicked off the air. I can't believe it.
You've got for Sun Ra. What has that guy ever done?
I don't know. So who is Sun Ra?
He's
some hippie guy, clearly.
He's a Trustafarian. He's a very talented man. Anyway,
yes.
Point being is that you've got 2 months to get some ideas on the air for us. Otherwise, we're just going to be reading from 7 Nights of Sin.
All right, let's give a little sample, because if you don't call in, people, we're going to read for more from this book.
And
all right, here we go.
503-231-8187.
All right. She stopped, looked at him. She decided she was ready for this. Whatever this was. Back with Claudia, when it was more about a game of dress-up.
Now
she began to worry again. What do you mean? His reply came in a steady, frank tone. I mean, you're going to be shocked at first by what you see, but then you're going to relax and enjoy. You're going to let yourself go, just like you did on the Eiffel Tower and in the gondola at last night with Chanel.
Wow.
I know, she's really getting around.
She's an international slut.
I know. You're going to experience the most pleasure you ever had. It's that simple. She said speechless before him. It didn't sound simple.
Don't give away what you can sell. This book is on sale for $1.
$1 for this.
Only $1. You can enjoy 7 Nights of Sin.
I think maybe. Should we auction this off?
With a pint of Kroger's chocolate chip cherry ice cream. All right.
We're serious.
We're going to go to another sketch.
We better go to another sketch.
503-231-8187. Dan, we're holding
Dan,
on for
we're
you.
Ready for you. We're ready for you, Dan. Okay, here we go.
Our Game of Thrones sketch.
Alrighty.
And so your theory, Elminshire, is that the boy slipped from the tower following a surprise of some sort?
Quite. By all accounts, he was an excellent climber, but an unusual sight. Perhaps that of a dwarf in the throes of coitus may have been enough to cause him to misjudge the distance between handholds. But until the boy's parents answer my letters, it's all mere speculation. In any event, Watsonford, let us turn our attention to the matter at hand.
Indeed. A dozen plus members of a groom's party turn up dead mid-wedding. The host, the bride's father, a man known to have something of a conflicted relationship with the groom's family, claims the deaths were due to a combination of drunken ribaldry and bad salmon.
I suspect there's more to the story than that.
Hermanshire, you don't suspect foul play at a wedding here in Westeros?
Indeed I do, Watsonford. That's why I'm calling this case The Mystery of the Red Wedding.
And I will get to the bottom of it. After all, am I not? Shelby Homanshire, Detective of Westeros.
Lord Frey! So kind of you to take the time to speak with us, especially given the nature of the tragedies that have befallen your household recently.
Yes, my daughter Rosie had so been looking forward to her wedding.
Quite. Most girls do. Still, my colleague and I have been sent from King's Landing to investigate the circumstances surrounding the tragic events of that evening. You don't mind if we look around, do you?
Of course not. The Freys have nothing to hide.
Watsonford, have a look around, but do be discreet.
Of course, Homanshire.
Lord Frey, According to the official story that's made its way by crow to King's Landing, your daughter Rosalind and her new husband Edmund had just completed their vows and the party was underway when the accident occurred.
Yes, Inspector. Real tragedy, that. I have to admit I'd had a few that night. My memories of the event aren't as clear as they could be.
Well, that's fine, that's fine. Tell us whatever it is that you can recall.
Well, it's like this. Robert, like a son to me, poor lad, was on his fifth flagon of mead. I told him to slow down, but you know how boys are. One of the other lads told a rather bawdy joke, causing poor Rob to choke on a salmon wedge. His mother, Catelyn, she'd also had a few that night. Being a recent widow who could begrudge her, tried to help her son dislodge the offending fish with a salad fork and, being drunk, ended up slipping and cutting her own throat.
I see. But what of Robert's new bride? I believe she was a fatality as well.
Beautiful girl. Real tragedy, that. We believe her death was due to shock, that and complications due to an early labor. She might have had some of the salmon herself.
And what of the other victims?
I'm not going to lie to you, Inspector. There'd been quite a bit of drinking that night.
And the men of the North are not known for their great love of temperance. But be that as it may, Lord Frey, the body count was quite substantial for a wedding.
Helmenshire, would you come over and look here?
This stain on the ground indicates that there had been a large pool of blood here. Cleaned up, but not fully. My keen powers of deduction tell me that this stain occurred around the same time as the wedding.
Yes, that's precisely the spot where young Rob had his accident with the salad fork.
And what of the blood stains to either side?
Easy enough to explain. In his flailings, he wound up striking several of his dining companions, also members of his wedding party, adding to the tragedy for my poor daughter.
Helmenshire, come quickly! I've just found this crossbow bolt lodged in a table. And there's another! And another! And another!
Keen observation, Watsonford. Keep it up and you might make Inspector one day. Crossbow bolts aren't the usual sort of item one expects to find embedded in furniture following a wedding. Wouldn't you agree, Lord Frey?
Now, Inspector. Let's not jump to any hasty conclusions. I can explain. This great hall also doubles as an archery range. Mine is a poor family, often forced to improvise when it comes to recreation. And it does rain so much in these parts. My children can hardly be expected to practice outdoors.
Reasonable enough. Watsonford, I believe you owe Lord Frey an apology.
Oh, terribly sorry, my lord.
Quite all right. You were just seeking justice.
I suppose now would be an awkward time to bring up the matter of the dog's head.
What was that? Speak up.
The dog's head that was sewn onto young Master Stark's body.
Ah, yes. I'd almost forgotten about that.
I have a reasonable explanation for that. Seeing that Robert, who again was like a son to me, would not be revived through traditional methods. In desperation, I had his dog brought in from the kennel in the hopes that, perhaps through some miracle, the dog might revive him. Rob loved that dog.
The mysterious healing power of animals is well documented. Still, that the dog's head was later found attached to the body of the deceased does raise certain questions.
Well, As I mentioned before, there was a fair amount of drinking that night. There's a long history of pranks between the Freys and the Tullys. I'm not proud of it, but there you are.
So, what you're saying, Lord Frey, is that young Robert Stark, drunk at the wedding, began choking on a wedge of salmon. His mother, herself half in the bag, attempted to address her son's distress with a salad fork, only to slip and cut her own throat with said fork. Other members of the Stark party, in a drunken attempt to assist both mother and son, wound up instead inflicting multiple stab wounds on each other, leading to their premature expirations. Rob Stark's dog was brought in to help revive its master, only to somehow wind up having its head surgically attached to the lad's shoulders as part of a youthful prank.
Yes, Inspector, that's exactly how it happened.
Lord Frey, was there any animosity between yourself and young Robert Stark?
Animosity? No, no.
Perhaps owing to a certain engagement promise made and later broken by Robert Stark?
That? I'd almost forgotten about that. Anyway, it was all water under the bridge by then.
Or was it? I'm going to offer another scenario. Watsonford, take note.
Yes, Helmetshire.
Although you claimed to harbor no ill will towards Robert Stark following his disengagement to your daughter, in fact, you did. Watching the wedding between your daughter Rosalind and Edmund Tully reawakened this old wound, which stung all the more as the party progressed. As you became increasingly drunk, you began quarreling with young Robert Stark. After a particularly heated exchange, you leapt from your chair, stepping here and then here, not with a salad fork, but with a meat fork.
Ha! Smashing good deduction, Homanshire. How could you possibly know?
Elementary, my dear Watsonford. There's no way a salad fork could account for this much blood. Isn't that right, Lord Frey?
You can't prove anything.
Oh, but I can. Seeing you stab her son with dinner cutlery, Lady Catelyn attempted to retaliate with a butter knife. Owing to drink, the hem of her dress became entangled, causing her to fall throat first into the very knife she intended to use on you. Seeing this, the wedding party fell into chaos, with guests stabbing hither and thither until a dozen or more lay dead.
Smashing work, Homanshire! But how do you explain the dog?
Simple observation, Watsonford. I noticed several hound hairs lodged into the crack of this wall near the spot in which Rob Stark breathed his last.
But why?
Because you, my dear Lord Frey, feeling a sudden twinge of regrets for your overreaction, attempted to set it right by summoning a surgeon. But at that time of night, finding a doctor was impossible, forcing you to make do with the village veterinarian, himself half in the bag, owing to the late hour.
Of course, Homanshire. That would account for the strange Sir Jericho melding.
Quite.
You found me out, good man. So what's to become of me? King's Landing to stand trial?
I wouldn't go that far, old bean. You are a lord, after all. Though based on my investigations, you may find yourself facing charges of accidental manslaughter, and perhaps even egregious mischief. A man of your standing ought to get off with community service. I'd suggest that you enlist the services of a talented solicitor.
Excuse me, Homanshire. So sorry to interrupt your reveal, but it seems that this crow has come all the way from King's Landing for you.
Well, don't just stand there, Watsonford. Read the note.
Oh my! It seems that there has been yet another wedding-related fatality. This one involving the royal family and an utterly bird-filled cake. Do you suspect foul play?
Let's not jump to any conclusions, old bean. Still, it would be best to make haste to King's Landing. Lord Frey, it seems as if more important matters require my attention. You're off the hook for now, but rest assured, I'll have my eyes on you in the future.
Of course. I see now why they call you the greatest mind in Westeros.
Indeed they do. Come along, Watsonford. We have a new case. This one I think I'll call The Mystery of the Purple Wedding.
Is my mic on?
Oh, I don't know. Is your mic on? Hey,
we've got a calling. We've got a call.
It's very exciting. All right.
And it's completely random. Absolutely. We had nothing to do with this caller. We don't even know who it is.
Exactly. All right. So here we go.
Let's try it. And if it doesn't work, it's because we meant it not to work.
Hello. Right.
Are you there?
Hello. Hi.
Yo.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
You guys have a funny ringtone. It's like Game of Thrones, but with the screen.
Yeah, you know, it used to be the Archer theme, but that was kind of jangly for me.
Right.
Yeah, I will call and I wanted to order a large pepperoni pizza.
Large pepperoni pizza?
Okay.
All righty.
I want one, too.
Me, too.
You have a...
We'll have three large pepperoni pizzas.
Right.
No, we're only the one. Okay, so only the one pizza.
How soon can you deliver it to us?
You have any of those, you know, you see them out in the foyer.
Do you have gluten-free?
Yeah, we need gluten-free, please.
I'm celiacs. Yeah. I don't even know what that means, but I'm it.
Yes.
You guys are not helping. You know, the mushrooms that you put on them. You got the mushrooms?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we totally got mushrooms.
Plenty.
That's right.
Okay.
Is this Bunko Kelly? Your voice sounds familiar, Bunko.
God, I'm so hungry. Come on. Yeah.
So are you saying you want some pizza?
Yes, we'd like that, too. If only there was somebody who had a song about pizza.
I know.
He's very philosophically confused.
Nothing in the world.
Nothing in the world like pizza.
Pizza!
Can you bring the pizza? Hey.
Well, I thought you were delivering it to us.
Johnson Creek, right.
Are you literally on? Are you in the middle of Johnson Creek?
Off of the creek. It's off of the creek.
How high is the water, Papa?
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And so we bring the pizzas. Are you those hobbits?
Yes, we are the hobbits.
Oh, yeah, I remember you hobbits. Got me drunk and dragged me down.
Those are allegations.
You were drunk when we found you in
why
the street under the bridge.
You hobbits?
No,
you
called...
have pizza?
Yes,
you
we have pizza. Yeah, we'll bring it on
pizza.
Over.
Yes. 30 minutes or it's free.
30 minutes or you have to pay us. 29 right. minutes you have to pay us twice.
Oh, that's a hate.
That's right.
We'll be putting some 1,000-year-old eggs on it for you.
There we go.
It's a Chinese dish.
Oh, boy.
This cable that's going to be gluten-free.
Is the hazel going to bring me the pizza?
Cruelty-free, sugar-free. It's probably going to be raw.
It's not 100% cruelty-free. No, we have a pizza chef. We're very cruel to him.
Yeah, we're going
to
do a raw cashew nut crust. Oh, delicious.
Delicious.
No hippie pizza. We've just got a couple of shanging. You did the bush sort of thing. We're hungry. You got pizza.
Do you have anything to promote, Blind Willie? We know who you are. Your secret identity is safe with us and our three listeners.
That's right.
Why do you hobbits keep calling me? Oh, man. When you guys, I have not been able to even drink since I seen you guys because you took my stuff and you
we got plenty of sterno at the station.
Come on down. We'll all have a party. We can actually boil the ink off of these books here.
Ferment them.
I'm not coming down to your studio. You're going to whack me up again. I'm leaving the phone. I'm leaving this phone.
We miss you.
Back.
Now it's time for another sketch.
In the morning. I'm calling.
Give out the number.
I'll meet you later. I'm out of here.
Give out the number, Hazel.
Goodbye.
There you go. Our second caller.
Oh, we should just play that.
You got to turn that off.
Are we still going to just play in the dial tone? It'll turn the music station, right? Yes.
All right, we've got a number. You can give us a call. Give us the number, Hayes.
503-231-8187.
8187. Hold on. There's another caller.
Wait, we have another caller.
Hold on. My God.
I don't even know.
Figure it out.
Press
the button. Hello. You're on the air. Fellini Satyricon.
Hold on.
Anyway, we're not experiencing any technical difficulties. We've got a caller on the air. We've got three sketches.
Okay, are you there, caller?
Hazel just burned herself. Yeah, all right. You lost him.
Did you hear that dial tone?
Yeah, that's pretty.
That's awesome. All right.
Well, whoever that caller was, just feel free to call back at any given point in the future. In the meantime, here's another sketch.
Okay, here's another sketch.
Another sketch.
All right. This is hard.
It's not hard.
It is totally hard.
It's very easy.
I don't know why we're not getting paid for this, frankly.
We should. Quite
we totally. I'm asking for a raise.
Ixnay on the aid, A-pay.
Brad Apex and Tammy Stone here in spectacular Guatemala City, Guatemala, host of the 2013 Paralympic Games. Of course, it almost wasn't meant to be, Tammy.
Yep, Brad. 3 years ago, Guatemala City barely beat out Darfur, Sudan, Lagos, Nigeria, and Pyongyang, North Korea, countries that haven't medaled in the regular Greek Olympics in at least 68 years. North Korea's last medal, in fact, was in the 32-man bobsled race, an Olympic event canceled immediately after its victory.
You got it, Tammy. And to think about this year's Paralympic Games, if the drug cartels hadn't started transporting huge quantities of drugs through Guatemala up to the U.S. a few years ago, this already poor, fragile, totally corrupt country might never have had its chance in the sun.
Let's go over to Stephanie on our sonic-powered triple rotor stealth drone copter cam. She's following the 500-mile dash to the border event, sponsored by the new Nike Air Max running shoe.
Yes, Brad and Tammy. We're high up in the air here at mile 499. These teams of 1,000 contestants have plenty of experience fleeing evil dictatorships. Just look at those Palestinians moving across this flat area. Need to be pretty quick to avoid all that political violence back home.
Nobody politely knocks on your door before they bulldoze your street, do they, Stephanie?
Well, they sure don't. But check out that Syrian team catching up from a refugee camp in Jordan right here to the highlands of Guatemala without missing a beat. Must be something about this beautiful Central American country air that makes families want to run and run. One has to wonder if fear should be considered a performance-enhancing drug, eh?
I'm sure the folks back home want to keep up with that controversy, Stephanie.
Hold your horses, guys. The Palestinian team regained the lead and is sprinting across the finish line. They've all won gold.
Sir! Sir! Don't run away from me. You won, sir. Let's get this thing on the ground. Sir! Sir! Yes, you! Stop running. You've actually won something, sir. Sir, stop!
I don't know why I'm running. I heard helicopters.
Don't worry, that's just for the telly. You're famous. I just want to know what you plan to do with your Paralympics gold medal.
Well, I would put it up on my wall back home if I had a home with walls to go back to.
Thank you so much for that touching soundbite. Back to you, Brad and Tammy.
And we're back. The Paralympic Games are right here, right now, in gorgeous Guatemala City, Guatemala.
The Paralympics are pretty special, Brad. Today, we are witnessing the riveting gold medal round of the men's fasting competition. The remaining three Paralympians are Jose Martinez of Colombia, Joaquin Nugala of the Ivory Coast, and Teddy Nguyen of Vietnam. Let's go over to Carl, our correspondent at the long table, where the world wants to see which contestant survives the longest. Carl, what can you tell us?
Wait is the key word, Tammy. These finalists have gone their whole lives without eating much. Teddy Nguyen of Vietnam grew up homeless and says he came to hate food from all the boiled shoe leather he was fed.
How did the contestants get to this final stage, Carl?
It all started in the Paralympics fasting trials 3 years ago. The field's been whittled down quite a bit.
Keep us posted for any developments. And by the way, Carl, have you tried that juicy porterhouse steak back at the hotel?
Crusty and tender at the same time. Yum!
Now a break from our sponsor, Monsanto Pesticides, Herbicides, and Other Fine Chemicals. Monsanto, limiting small farmers' choices since 1967.
And the Paralympic Games continue right here in the marvelous metropolis of Guatemala City, Guatemala. We now go to our shot put event and our correspondent right smack dab in the middle of the action. Bert, This event has been a fan favorite, but the gold medal race here is becoming, as you say, clear as mud. Explain, good sir.
That's right, Brad. Very early on in the competition, the shot put balls were stolen. Most suspect the Highland Rebels, or that the government melted them down for weapons.
And didn't they fly more in?
Of course they did. And of course, these were stolen at customs. Over the past few days, we've seen vast swaths of territory changing hands. In response, all the participating countries have resorted to throwing mud balls.
Wowie, wow, wow. Who leads the shot put contest now?
Russia. In an unprecedented move, President Putin has fired the Russian team, become the sole contestant, and bribed several judges.
Burr, Tammy here. Stupid question. But they can't give the gold to one of the warring factions, can they?
Not this time around, anyway.
Golly, golly, Bob Bolly Bird. Thanks for giving us that report and surviving. No small feat there.
Now let's get a quick update from our rickshaw pull final. Our correspondent Stephanie is there to report on a new world record.
Unbelievable, Brad and Tammy. Laos took things to a new level. The unnamed Chinese contestant thought he'd won gold by carrying 8 overweight tourists across the finish line. But Laotian Havika Sayavong said, no way. Not a chance. Don't even think about it. Across my dead body. 9 overweight tourists.
Hot diggity wiener dog.
Holy Mary, Mother of God and Pedro.
Sayavong carried 9 overweight tourists across the finish line.
Was it a touchy medal ceremony, Stephanie?
He'll have to get out of the hospital first, Brad.
Sounds like a good time to hear from our event sponsor, Lexus, presenting the Lexus 3000, style and nuclear power together at last.
Welcome back to lovely Guatemala City, capital of Guatemala and host of the Paralympic Games, opening up the world field for the other 150 countries, nations you may not have heard of, like Burundi and Togo. Let's go to our second-to-last event of the day, Tin Shack Construction, brought to you by HGTV. Molly Gangstar is on the ground for us. Molly, this event is based on speed. What advantages do perennial winners like the Congo and Sierra Leone have over other countries?
The biggest shantytowns in the world, Brad. Corruption, mechanization of farming, and rampant urban unemployment give contestants from these countries plenty of practice.
Not to cut you off, Molly, but I will. We'll move to the final event of the day, the Sisyphean Boulder Push. We haven't ever had a winner in this category, but Eddie Urgent has a more complete story.
As far as gargantuan effort and number of epic fails, no country has done better than Ethiopia. Although they've gotten tight competition from Somalia and Haiti, including what appeared to be a complete push to the top for the Haitian team back in 2011. Not only did the international team of judges deny their effort, but the boulder rolled completely to the bottom of the hill again, crushing 17 members of the Haitian team.
Oh, a big shucks on that one. And I think they had an endorsement deal in the works from Caterpillar.
Since we're getting close to the end of the games, we wanted to visit the Paralympic Village with our trusty correspondent, Carl, to see how the preparations for the closing ceremony are going. Carl, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Carl, come in, Carl.
Yes, I'm still here.
Carl, we're having some technical difficulties. Hold on.
I'm definitely here, Brad and Tammy.
Carl, that you?
It is me, Brad. Keep that chiseled jawline still for just a minute. I am at the entrance to the Paralympic Village, but it's been completely cordoned off due to a cholera epidemic.
Oh dear, what are they doing about it?
The international community has already swept into action. The U.S. has pledged to airlift a case of Top Ramen and buy one, get one free Big Mac coupons in exchange for 3 oil-rich northern provinces, while the UN has pledged medical support for everyone in the area as soon as the cholera epidemic has completely ended.
Holy smoky badokey. I sure hope they figure it out, Tammy.
Me too, Brad. Nobody wants to be collared by cholera. Should be interesting to see what country is selected to host the next Paralympics. The finalists include Myanmar, Liberia, and Arkansas.
And that does it for this broadcast of the Paralympic Games from Guatemala City. We now resume broadcasts of our regular programming.
Did
Does your bend-over boyfriend bulk when you bring home the goods?
Oh my God, you're not putting that thing in me.
Tired of buying dildo after dildo only to put them on the curb a week later because your bend-over boyfriend is too much of a sissy to take them anal?
Take it out! Take it out!
So why not?
Try on Strap-On, what's that?
Glad you asked. Try on Strap-On, the only dildo store in the Strap-Ons before buying. Hey, honey, why don't we go down to Try on Strap-On?
It's right around the corner from Wentworth Chevrolet.
Located conveniently on Burnside.
I don't know about that. The O.J. Simpson, that's a little bit too big for me.
How about the Urkel?
The Urkel? That's perfect.
You try on Strap-On. You won't know you like it until you try it on.
Oh, come on, honey. The sales lady said you would love it.
I don't like it. Take it out.
It's no problem at Try On Strap-On.
Give it to the handy sales lady outside the dressing room and she'll whisk it away.
I'll just sterilize it and repack it.
We put the DIY in dildo.
And remember, every 10th dildo purchase, you get one free.
That was in terrible, terrible taste, and I'm deeply ashamed that we ran it.
You know, I'll tell you, you can get anything on Burnside.
Try On Strap-On.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knew?
What do we got up next?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, hold on. Before you put it on, okay. Give out the number again.
Okay, yes, because we got a caller.
And we lost the caller. Exciting.
And another caller would be great.
Not Blind Willie, who's our personal friend.
Yes, 503.
231-8187. That's the number here.
And we're promoting the book sale because, you know, we get to live at KBU for free.
That's right.
Thanks to your donations.
And also, they don't know that we live here.
Well, there's that.
I mean, we do technically, but...
But anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
So if you go to the book sale next month, you can buy for $1... Beyond Nakedness by Paul Abelman.
So, I mean, I know what you're thinking is, how can you get beyond naked, right?
I know, right?
I'm assuming that it has something to do with getting naked.
Well, it's all about how nudity and nakedness is paragraphs.
I'm sparked already.
Yes, okay, here we go. All right. If the Greeks invented the nude, they also invented pornography. It is a nice question as to when representations of human beings copulating and indulging in every form of orgiastic excess change from being mythical separations of vitality and become filth.
You know, I'll never eat a domus again.
That's kind of a deep question. Yes. So ponder that. Think about your answer, listeners, and call us to tell us when does representations of human beings copulating turn from vitality to filth?
Basically, once my hand is down my pants, that's the point that it turns from one to the other.
Debate that. That's a pretty strong case. Okay.
Masturbate. Yes. Oh, sorry. We can't say that.
503. 231-8187. That's the number. And shall we play a sketch?
I want to see if this button works.
What button?
The cough button. All right. Doesn't work.
Cough and no, I heard you. I heard you.
I understand that whenever. Oh, here we've got a call.
We got a call.
All right.
How do you do that? Where? Oh, we got a call. Hold on. Hold on. This is very exciting. Okay.
Hi there.
Hello. This is KBOO.
Gotta press hold. Put him on hold.
Hello. Would you like to chat on the air?
Yes, I'd like to talk right now. I've got some things that are
We're gonna put you on hold, and then
about.
You can talk to Floyd. Okay,
all right.
So, and if it hangs up, please call us back.
All right, yeah. This isn't really the guy calling. This is actually somebody else completely different.
Okay, caller. Caller, are you there?
Hi. You have anything to say? Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
We're wonderful.
So what are you doing?
We've got a lot of oxygen in the studio, more oxygen than we need.
So who is this, and hello?
State your name and purpose, sir.
Please.
My name is Dan McLean, and my purpose is to help people.
That's good.
Excellent, Dan. Well, you're live.
We need a lot of help.
Yes, you're live on KBOO, so people are listening to
That's
you.
That's right.
And what do you
think? Yeah, I called last night, but... the confessional was out of order.
I know.
I was very disturbed by the substitute programming you guys offered at 12
o'clock. We're no substitutes. We're the real deal. Real McCoy.
So,
like Bones McCoy.
Do you have a confession about puppets?
Yes. Do you think about puppets sometimes?
Yes.
No, what's your name? Yeah, Pinocchio. My name's Pinocchio.
There we go. I'm Hazel.
I'm Floyd.
And we live
Lloyd
in...
Lloyd and Hazel.
Yes, Lloyd and Hazel.
We're Portland puppets. We're local.
Portland. We're local.
Born and raised.
I got webbed feet, pal. If I had feet, they'd be webbed.
So what do you think of the show? Have you been listening? Are you liking it?
Let the man talk,
I'm in the
Hazel.
Car. I'm in my truck, and I'm going home, and I'm listening to the show, and I thought that dildo piece was in poor taste.
I thought it was in poor taste, and I wrote it.
Take it out.
We're taking it out right now.
Oh, it's been taken out.
We're going to sterilize it and throw it away.
We'll never use that sketch again.
Yeah, we got that. We got that dildo piece from the Goodwill, actually. They have a sketch box. It's not the best idea, really.
Have you been to Burnside? There's crazy stores.
Crazy.
It influenced us, frankly.
I think we lost him. All right.
No, I'm here.
Oh, good, you're here. Right. All right, well, that was a poor taste.
Do you like folk music?
Do I like what kind of
folk,
music?
Folk music.
Well, I like country, I like folk, I like bluegrass, I like rock and roll. Give me some good old classic rock and roll.
Are you going to see the Eagles when they come to play here? You're not going to see the Eagles, are you?
No.
That's good. We're not going to see them either.
Grateful Dead.
All right. I think if you like folk music, I think you're going to like the next sketch because it's about a folk rocker.
Okay, I'll be listening.
All right. Well,
thanks
thank
for calling.
You. Thank you for calling in.
Puppet Radio Theater.
Right. Yes, good night.
That was our second fan.
All right. We are up to four people who listen to the show.
Four fans.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This is very, you know, thank goodness for that dildo call. That dildo
you know,
sketch
let's
got
not,
us another
let's
listener.
Let's not say that word again.
The DIY.
The DIY.
Wink, wink, listeners.
Wink, wink.
Right. All right. So we have another sketch.
They can't see us winking, Hazel. We're puppets.
Well, technically.
People who don't believe in puppets can't see them.
That's true. All right, well, let's do the next sketch, and hopefully our caller will enjoy it.
We hope so. It's for you. Oh, man, we've only got 9 minutes. Put it on.
All right, let's go.
It's time for Talkin' Tunes with your host, Tara Berkley.
Hey, everybody, and thanks so much for tuning in. I'm so excited about today's show because my very special guest has been off the music scene for a few years. Now he's out of retirement and has come in all the way from Santa Cruz. Let's give a warm Talking Tunes welcome to acclaimed indie folk rocker Dave Donson.
Thank you for having me, Tara.
Dave, you almost don't need an introduction, especially not with my audience. Since the 90s, your mellow, feel-good music has endeared you to lovers of folk and indie rock around the country and around the globe.
Thank you, Tara. That's so nice of you to say.
In 2000, you topped the charts with Feeling Good.
Yeah, that was off my third album, Lovin's.
Your next hit single was, oh man, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Well, the album was Sugar on My Tongue, but the song was Happy Candy.
So, Dave, it's been a few years since you put out any new work. What's been going on?
I've spent the last couple of years, you know, just hanging out on the beach, getting my head together.
But I understand that you have a new album out.
Yeah, Stormfronts.
Huh, interesting title. Tell us a little bit about Stormfronts.
Well, you know, Tara, I'm best known for my mellow, groovy ballads, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I'm in a different space now, and I guess I wanted to, you know, spread my artistic wings on this one.
Wow, that's really deep. How do you mean?
I think folks are going to find this album a little more, you know, edgy than my previous ones.
Edgy? Wow, sounds exciting. You mean like political stuff?
Well, I brought my guitar along. Why don't I play something for you and your audience?
Wow, Talking Tunes exclusive. What do you say, guys?
This is a bit from my new song, Überhund.
Blondie, oh Blondie. They chase you, but your heart is taken. So eager to return back home to the Führer's arms. Something deep inside of you awakens. The Hitler youth, they learn the truth. The visionary with a heart of gold.
You know, it sort of goes on like that.
That's quite a departure from your usual stuff.
You know, sometimes you have to take risks to really grow.
So, what's that song about?
Well, you know, the song's about Adolf Hitler's dog.
Adolf Hitler's dog.
One of them, anyways. He had two. Four if you count Eva Braun's terriers.
What possessed you to write a song about Hitler's dog?
Well, you know, it's one of those untold stories and all that. And the Fuhrer was he was really an animal lover. Vegetarian, too, but you probably knew about that.
Alrighty, then. Why don't you tell us about another song off your new album?
Well, I wrote one about the environment.
Thank goodness. We talk a lot about the environment on Talking Tunes.
Yeah, it's a subject that's really, it's close to my heart.
I'm sure it is.
You know, there's a lot in the news about this fracking thing. And you know, I'm from California, which has a lot of really tough anti-fracking laws. So I wrote this song about fracking because there's still just tons of natural gas we could be getting at.
There's treasure under every rock, my friend. There's treasure under every stone. A sweet gift from our ancestors, hiding under every home. Hiding, yeah, hiding, yeah, hiding, yeah, hiding, yeah. So let's rake up all that cash, my friend, as we frack it up, baby. Frackity, it all comes out. Global warming don't exist. It's a left-wing propaganda myth as we frack it up, baby. Frack it up now, sing it together. Frack it up, baby. I can't hear you. Frack it up now. Whoa, whoa. Frack it up now.
You know, sometimes an audience has a hard time when an artist changes direction. Like when Dylan went electric.
This is nothing like when Dylan went electric.
Yeah, well, it kind of is. And, you know, there's a lot of oil still in the ground.
But fracking releases gas.
Oil, gas. It's all positive energy, man.
But how could you? I mean, global warming and...
Tara. Global warming's probably not real.
But scientists, Dave. I mean, it's been proven.
Well, you know, live and let live. Do your own thing, man.
Okay. So, Dave Donson, you're best known for your love ballads. Does your new album, Stormfronts, have any love ballads?
Oh, yeah, totally. In fact, I was hoping to play one for the audience.
Yes. Yes, please do.
Well, this one's about a girl I really dig.
Oh, thank God.
Well, I call her a girl, but to me, she's a woman.
Great, great. Why don't you play that for us?
Sure, glad to.
Girl, let me break it down for you now. Tell you how it is. Seems like only yesterday saw you for the first time, playing around that schoolyard. And I fell right there, felt it right there, bubbling up deep inside my heart. I knew right then that you had to be mine. I wrote this number for you, show you how I feel, and it goes something like this. Your mama, she don't. Says that I have no soul, but it really don't matter, 'cause I love you, girl. Even though you're only 8 years old, it's just a number, baby.
Hey, that's not cool.
And that's all the time we have for Talking Tunes. Play the theme music.
My agent told me this was going to be a half-hour show, and I still need to plug my tour with Ted Nugent.
It's not. You can't. Good night.
All right, we are back.
What would you call that? Was a cold cut. We slot a little bit of music there.
I'm efficient. I am right. On the ball here.
Well, yes.
We got 1 minute left. We got things to do.
We got things to do. That's people right. To do. Yes, now, listen.
Exactly. Puppets to make.
Puppets to make. Eat. Now, chicken to heat up.
Right.
Why don't you put the end music on, and then I can do
Do you hear anything?
My normal voice.
Or the normal voice.
I can do the credits.
Okay.
All right, are we ready? Roll it.
Puppet Radio Theater has been brought to you by Joshua Samuel Brown, Twilight Kalisti, Dan Zinder. Dan Zinder basically did most of this show, actually. Sam, who else was in this? Were you in this, Ken?
No, Ken, I don't think Ken was.
Ken wasn't in this. Sam Parrish was in it. Twilight was in it. B. Seth Brown was in it for a little while, as was our good friend Sean. Roxandra was in it. There are just some old sketches here, but we promise you that in just 2 months' time, we're going to be back with a full, all-new episode of Puppet Radio Theater here on KBOO.
That's right.
And I think that before Rolf takes over, I think that Ken has something to plug here. So thank you for listening.
I want you all to tune in next week, Monday at 11 p.m. We have a show preempting the regular scheduled program, Subhuman Intellect Theater. It's called the Holy Crowley Hour.
The Holy Crowley Hour.
Holy Crowley Hour. Actually, the DJ is a cultist of the Holy Crowley cult.
As are we all here at KBOO.
Their only commandment is do what thou wilt, and I think the DJ is going to be doing exactly that 11 o'clock next Monday.
Now, that differs slightly from the Ginger Baker cult, whose rule is do what you like. Do what you like. Thank you very much for tuning in. This has been Puppet Radio Theater on KBOO FM Radio.
This is
KBOO Portland.
You are tuned to the UBU Hour.
Radio Theater!
For more than 45...